pale horse. The man who sat on him was death. And hell followed with him.
You're killing me, man.
And welcome to Declarations of War. I am Alexeyev Carr, joined by co-hosts Artemis Albosa.
Howdy, howdy.
And Levitain.
Good evening, good evening.
Our special guest this evening is former host, prolific author, prolific podcast co-hoster, and video creator, and CSM representative, and FC. And what else do you do, Yin?
Don't forget General Nuisance. It's lovely
General
to be here, Alex.
General Nuisance. And just, you know, all-around menace to society, Yin Tan.
Howdy, howdy.
I feel like I have to throw in an also failed alliance leader here, just for old time's sake.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, and failed coalition builder. Yeah.
You try a lot of things, you fail at a lot of things. That's life.
That's true. Speaking of failing up, Capitalist Army is recruiting. We are looking for a few good members as we continue to fail our way to success. We've recently started recruiting again after a bit of a pause switching alliances into Templus Calcif, which you guys might remember from the Alliance tournament. They usually do pretty good. And yeah, we're looking for more dudes. European time zones and US time zones. Hit me up. You can message Alexeyev Carr directly or join our chat, Capitalist Chat in game. Capitalist Space Chat. Looking for PvPers, explorers, industry folks, marketeers, or people that like to do a little bit of all that stuff. So come say hi. It's a really great community, especially if you're a fan of the show. And with that, let's get into the menace that affects all good people in EVE Online. Fucking bots.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. That's it's been a problem for a long time. It has really come into the fore in the past couple weeks. CCP taking some previously unusual measures, now it seems to be becoming more usual, where they're ratcheting up the pressure on these bots. So not only have they increased the bannings and switched up ways they're banning recently, they would like take bot super carriers out of their null sec systems, drop them into the middle of high sec to get killed. That was a pretty exciting development. Now they're basically doing the same thing for the alliances that house them by identifying which alliances there are and making that information known to the rest of the game for consequences to happen.
I mean, it's an intentional step. I feel like this is more of CCP Pellegrino was excited about banning a whole bunch of bots, and he said that. But in the process, he mentioned which groups they were being banned from, right? It was Great Western Prosperity Co., if I recall correctly, which were period basis botters. And then I want to say the other group was from Brothers of Tengger, but I can't quite recall.
No, the two groups specifically were the Great Western Crow Prosperity Sphere, which is the pseudo-renting like alliance of Goonswarm. It's not really an rent. By the way, my headphones just died again, so I won't be able to hear your response. I'm going to have to switch back over to my main thing. But it's effectively their rental alliance and Fraternity Treasury, which is Fraternity's rental alliance, I believe. So it was two renting organizations that he highlighted. However, that's not the only data he released, because he also released a pie chart that detailed all of the top 25 alliances and who they were banned from, and it became immediately obvious that the examples he had highlighted were not representative of where the most bots were highlighted from, were banned from.
Yeah, which shows by far the most bots. Looks like Drone Russian, which I'm sure is the shock of no one. Shadow of Xdeath, Solar Citizens, Brothers of Tangra, Solar Wing, Northern Associates, Red Citizens, AAA Citizens, all these major alliances.
We say this, but we have to recognize that this is a historical graph, right? This is from back whenever they started collecting this data up until present day. That is what this data is for. And so newer groups, Fraternity Treasury and the period basis rental, pseudo rental, whatever, are both new groups, right? They started within the last year or two. There was zero
Great
chance.
Western Prosperity, Great Western Prosperity Sphere was used during Section 8 rentals as well. back in 2014.
I stand by my point on fraternity, though.
Is the pan-intergalactic business community, which is another one of frats.
Yeah, that's also not frats. That's frat. That's school yourself.
Yeah, school yourself. I know because I've hunted the bots in that organization before.
And that is a particularly interesting group, in my opinion, because unless I am corrected by my co-hosts, they are new, similar to Treasury, right? That is a new organization. So the fact that they made it onto this list means that they have a significantly higher proportion of bots than other groups.
Does it really mean that, though? Do we actually know? I want to just stand on my soapbox a little bit here because I fucking hate this.
Why?
I think this is a terrible idea because it's CCP stepping into the metagame and saying, "Here's the people who are committing crimes. Like, go get them, or there will be consequences." This whole thing just reeks to me. It reeks of CCP playing with things that they don't understand. There was a good reason why CCP didn't do this in the past, and that was because them revealing this doesn't do anything but make people want to act as a result of it.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's CCP driving action in the game.
That's CCP providing players information. We can do with it what we want.
Yeah, but it's not perfect information, though. What information have you actually gained from that? What do you now know that you did not previously know?
I'd like to state for the record, I agree with Yin's point here, and I'd like to draw the comparison with the Brisk situation. Except
yes,
instead of
exactly.
A dude being affected in real life, it is these alliances being affected in-game.
Yeah, thank you for drawing that comparison. It's something that's very hard for me to elucidate on because it's not something that's... I don't know, it's not something that's super obvious, and I totally get why people are happy about seeing in it. I think it makes... And I totally understand why Poligro did it as well. I don't want to say, oh, Poligro, you're such an idiot, why did you do this? Totally get why Poligro did this, by the way. Because he's been getting shit on by the community for the past fucking... however long. How long has he been getting shit on by the community for not stopping bots? Years at this point. And, the guy doesn't have the ability to make miracles, and the community expects miracles from him, and he can't deliver them. So he goes out of his way, and he's like, fine, I will give people something. And, it's gonna make everyone feel good in a short period of time because everyone's like, yeah, we get information, but does this get more bots out of the game? No. Does this actually do anything?
Though.
How? What are you expecting Goonswarm to just invade everyone who's on that list? And if they do that, that's just the players doing CCP, not even the players doing CCP's job for them. That's the players doing the job that CCP isn't doing of making the game harder to bot, but you're making the players to it. Does that not strike anyone as super backwards as a way of dealing with a problem? Or is this just me?
I want the problem to be dealt with. If CCP is not going to make changes to the game, then...
But what? No. That's a bullshit fucking assumption. What do you mean if CCP isn't going to make changes to the game? We pay them! We pay a subscription! If this is such a problem that they're willing to fuck with us and make it our responsibility to do this, I don't really know.
Let's take a pause from this train of thought for a moment and go back to the information thing, because there's one thing I want to point out, which is that the community already had information on the fact that bots were getting banned, and it wasn't just CCP sitting on their hands doing nothing, right? Because the security dev blogs, the quarterly security dev blogs, had data on how many bots were banned in this quarter, how many RMTers were banned in this quarter, etc., etc. The data was out there, it was just anonymized, which I think is the way that it should be done. I think Ian would agree with me here.
Yeah, I have no problem with them shouting ban statistics from the rooftop. I think that's great. I think they should be doing that.
But I think the
way that they handled this was irresponsible. That's what I want to say.
Here's why I think it's great, because it highlights that there are certain organizations in the game which we all suspect, but now it's confirmed, they're actively, if not actively, then at least permissive of bots. If they're not actively supporting and recruiting them.
You read my article?
Yes.
What did you take away from my article?
Well, we have
for the record, Yin's
section,
article
but...
is
okay, but
posted to INN, yeah, okay. And it is called "Why Is It Easy to Bot?" Or pardon me, "Why Is Eve Easy to Bot?"
I mean, there is no denying that the game, as it is designed, is
no. That's
poor
not
from
that's
a botting
not
perspective. Like, I'm
that's
not,
not what I was
that.
Trying to highlight there from a more subtle perspective, which is that it is impossible to tell the difference between a good player and a bot. When it comes to PvE, there is literally no difference. There is no way for anyone at an alliance level to tell if someone is botting, because bots do not rat 23/7. That is not how bots work, and I know because I've hunted and killed bots in the past. And I know because I've talked to people who have done the same thing, but way better than me, because they exist.
And to your point, Alec, I think what you're trying to get to here is that you like the idea of CCP naming and shaming, because it puts more incentive on these groups who have bots in them to avoid having bots. It's not necessarily that you expect Goonswarm to invade these groups. It's more that you expect this pressure to be a social pressure on the groups themselves to self-police. And my contention is that that pressure is already there, but it's in the form of monetary pressure. Because what we've seen is that even before this whole mess, what CCP did when they banned botters is they also went after any of the tax income that came from those botters and rental payments and things like that. And so we've had situations where rental alliances will just have their entire wallets nuked. And in fact, I had Lady Scarlet on an episode of Talking in Stations last week, and she was talking about how they almost lost Sov because the rental, or pardon me, they could have lost Sov because the account that all the money comes out of is the same account that pays Sov bills. So if CCP nukes your cash and then Sov bills come due, your Sov just freaking drops. And that's on top of the pain of just losing 100 bill in the blink of an eye because one of the people you let into your massive 1,000-person, multi-1,000-person rental alliance happened to be a botter. There is already plenty of incentive for these rental groups or even non-rental groups to not let botters in. And Yin's point is that they... even with all this incentive, and even if you added the naming and shaming, it's not going to change anything because they don't have the tools to distinguish between players and botters.
Yeah, I mean, like, fundamentally, let's look at an alliance like bot. Let me very quickly drag it up on top line.
It's not even necessarily a tooling thing. Like, if you're recruiting these corporations, you would be doing checks on who they are. You'd be contend that no one in Solar Citizens or Bot or Shadow of Xdeath knows that there are botters in the alliance and who some of them might be. Was that your contention?
Can I reasonably contend that issue? The answer is no, because I don't know. But if you're saying that you suspect something, and you suspecting something and the fact that it is somewhat backed by evidence means that what do you think should happen as a result of this?
I think these organizations, basically what this information tells me is there are some organizations that are more permissive of this activity than others. Otherwise, there wouldn't be much of a percentage difference, right?
So define permissive.
If they know about it, they're not actively doing anything about it, and they're not actively thinking about this issue, minimum. I would highly suspect that some of the more egregious examples here are fully aware that they're bots within their alliance and aren't doing anything about it.
That's an incredibly strong accusation, dude. You're implying that people are involved with something that's large-scale RMT. Like, but people who in bot on an industrial level are people who are involved with, like, basically organized crime tier of, like, internet crime.
Yes.
All right, cool. If that is your belief, then I want that to be out there. But, like, to... as someone who has dealt with leadership in EVE Online, it's fucking hard. You do not have time to talk to absolutely everyone, and you have to delegate stuff out.
Alec, I think you're misinterpreting the data that we have here. And let me give you an example. Let me give you an analogy. So what the data that we have here is showing us that these particular groups have a higher percentage of botters than other groups. So all that means is we can say with relative certainty that some percentage of the membership of bot, some percentage of the membership of Fraternity Treasury are botters. But as we've already established, and I think you agree to this, we don't have the tools to distinguish who is who. So we can say someone in this group is a bot, but it is extremely difficult to point to an individual and say that that person is a bot. It's sort of like with the lottery, right? You can say that I can guarantee you someone is going to win the lottery this week, but I could not in any sense, in any realm of possibility, tell you who is going to win the lottery.
What's your point,
that's the
though?
Problem
I'm not
here.
Asking
my
well,
point
well,
is,
no, 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 no.
My point is if you...
You, Alec, your stated desired end result of this is that people self-police and take groups out of their equation, right? So your stated end desired goal is that renters no longer rent to anyone who bots, ever. Like, just that would be your ideal scenario, is that no one ever works with anyone who ever bots again. Right. Yeah. And you're going to drive... So you want to drive reporting in such a way that it will incentivize people to never have any bots inside them, right?
Yes.
What effect do you think that will have on the community?
On the community?
Yeah, when you cannot take someone in without being late, like when you can't take someone in without a proven history,
that's
what does that
what
do
I'm
to the community?
And you're taking this to a
no, I'm not. I'm, this is no, I'm not. This is what will happen if what you're talking about goes through. What would happen if, as a result of this, people, like, if you become worried, if it becomes an organizational imperative for you to reduce the amount of botters in your organization, the answer to that is to close open recruitment and to only have highly vetted recruitment. And I think that would be a massive negative for the game. I don't know about you guys, and you're welcome to have your own opinions on it, but that's the way I see this going.
That is one option. I think the more realistic option is to just require PvP. Because the bots don't PvP, right? That's the one way you can tell the difference between a bot and a real player is because bots don't PvP.
So now everyone who plays Eve in NullSec has to PvP?
That's the problem. That's the problem with this option, is that everybody would then have to PvP, right? The whole idea of farms and fields goes away. Because everybody also has to be a member of the local militia, so to speak.
Well, there's another option. Bots don't talk. If you're not PvPing, you have to be socially interactive with your alliance.
How is CCP going to monitor that? How is CCP going
to
enforce
it's
that?
Not
CCP
just bots
has their own tools
talk,
to identify
though.
Bots. We're not talking about CCP identifying bots. We're talking about players, not...
So you're talking about that you want players to have, like... Does this not strike you as having an incredibly high requirement of effort to be put onto anyone who's leading an organization
well,
of more
no,
than 1,000
no.
people?
We don't even need to go down that trail, because I think the whole argument that bots don't talk is forgetting the other side of the coin, which is also some people don't talk. Like, if you looked at me
that
with
too.
My alts out in freaking when I was renting for a period of time, I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't know anybody. I just logged in my VNIs, did my VNI thing while I watched Netflix, and then logged off when I was done. I didn't speak to anybody. I reported people in Intel, but bots do that too. Like, it's also socially, like, awkward people don't talk to other people. Not even if they're PvEing, even if they're PvPing, some people just don't talk. It's a common complaint you'll hear in new bro-friendly alliances, is that people will be getting shot at and be getting tackled, but they don't communicate. So I think the whole bots don't talk thing is just a non-starter in terms of this argument.
So would you say that things are fine as is, you wouldn't change anything?
No,
I would rather not know which alliances are corrupt.
No, what I'd rather happen is CCP fucking do something in the game to combat this. Like, the last serious thing that they did to interact with bots on a gameplay design level was ban Alfreds from doing 4 and 5 levels, from doing level 4 or 5 missions. And that was 6 months ago. And this is still a problem. And CCP has not done anything in the game to address this. They've not thought about removing heavy drones from alphas. They've not thought about... I don't want to say they've not thought about things like this. Obviously, we've brought it up to them, we've had discussions, but the fact that they haven't done anything to address this, and that they're now effectively trying to, as Alex said, shift this onto the community and let people know who the bad guys are, it is putting the onus on the players to deal with the problem that is CCP's problem, and that's not acceptable.
It's giving us the option.
No, it's not. It's no.
I the players are not responsible enough to have that option.
Exactly.
Right? This is exactly that, like the Brisk situation. We have been given
responsible for our own choices in the fucking sandbox game.
No, we're not responsible enough to make the right choices. Right? So the players have been given incomplete information. They've been making wild speculations based on it, and they're taking actions based on those wild speculation. Right? You can imagine some scenario in which CCP gives us perfect information in order to be able to identify bots and kick them accordingly. But if CCP had that perfect information, they would be kicking them to begin with. It wouldn't have to be our problem to deal with. Right? We're in this situation. I don't think there's any intentionality behind it. I think CCP Pellegrin was having a good day. He was doing his thing. He released some numbers and he got a bunch of backlash. He's like, okay, fine. You guys want the names? Here are the names. Here's a pretty graph. Go have fun. Do your thing. And that was the end of it. And player uproar took this thing by storm. I don't think this is CCP trying to make an intentional change to force everything down onto the player base. I think this is CCP Pellegro or a security team just having a laugh. And I think that's a problem similar to like the Brisk thing was a problem. But I think the problem is because I would disagree with you, Alec. You asked the question, do you think that we should not know which groups have these bots? I think, yes, we should not know based on CCP giving us data we otherwise would not have access to which groups have bots. It's pretty easy to tell, right? Players have always suspected any group on this graph that we were given that they had a significant number of bots in them. We didn't need that data to know that those groups had bots. We knew that already. Because we saw people getting banned, because we interacted with the bots, we tried to hunt them down and kill them and things like that. That data just put a false sense of confirmation and security behind players throwing more wild accusations out.
I don't know what accusation is so wild. Like,
dude, did you see like some of the shit that went down in GOTG after this? There was a straight up like some pretty fucking racist shit that came out of I don't want to say racist actually, because that's not quite the correct term, but really, really insensitive stuff that came out of it directed towards Chinese players. And I don't think that's acceptable.
And you think
it is my opinion, Alec, that your accusation that these rental groups are harboring botters intentionally, that they are working with the botters and allowing them to use their space, is a wild accusation.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I don't.
They have plenty of incentive to not allow bots.
You think that's quite outlandish and isn't backed yes. up by your experiences in EVE to this point. Okay.
With the exception of possibly Fraternity, because they have a significantly different culture coming from Serenity, it is my opinion that that is a wild accusation.
The problem is, as soon as you make one exception on that list, you basically invalidate the whole defense of the argument. Look, I agree with most of the things that Jin's actually said today. I think the problem with this is that by putting that chart out there, it's an admission that CCP can't manage the problem by itself, and it's stupid to expect us to try and take that information and somehow make 2 and 2 equal 5. It's just ridiculous, and I agree that there are mechanic changes that need to happen in this. Personally, I'd just like to see more people get more bots be transported into HiSec. I thought that was hilarious when it happened, and it doesn't happen enough.
Yeah, stuff like that is... It's like the equivalent of the Polygo chart as it was intended to be. Like, I totally agree with you, Artemis, here. I think that, like I said, I think Polygon was just fed up of getting told, oh, you're not doing enough, and he just wanted to do something, and he did something, and I don't think that was a bad call on his... Well, I think that was a bad call on his part, but I totally get why he did it. But, yeah.
I think we have our poll.
I guess we do have our poll. I think you'll find that the majority of people back you up here, honestly. Alexei, I think that most people are really happy to watch some people get fed to the lions and not think of the consequences of what watching people get fed to the lions is going to be.
As this conversation seems to be winding down, we've brought up multiple times the question, like, what would you do to get rid of botting in EVE Online? And Yintan brought up multiple options in his Yin Talks article. Also, Sutonia wrote an article on how botting and its relationship with the geography of EVE, right? The relationship of jump ranges or the number of jumps you have to take in order to access certain isolated regions, and how that results in us seeing a higher prevalence of bots in those regions. So I think something Alec has mentioned in the past is that he is frustrated that CCP isn't willing to take some of these gameplay design steps to impact botting.
I think we all are, right?
Yeah, and I think it's a massive... I think it's just honestly a huge slap in the face for them to do something like this.
That's where I disagree, though. Like, I think putting this all on CCP is, I mean, yes, it's their game. They can be making decisions that prevent a lot of this behavior, but it's players that are taking advantage of it. Like, if someone was abusing an exploit, you wouldn't say, oh, the fault's all on CCP. Well, players still decided to do that. They knew it was wrong, and they did it anyway. Players are still deciding to bot. Alliances are still deciding to let bots into their alliance. Alliances are deciding to leave bots there.
You keep saying this like it's an intentional choice. Do you have proof of it that it's an intentional choice for these alliances to bring bots inside their alliance? Because if you do, I would like you to publish that to Reddit right fucking now, or send it to Team Security.
I mean, Team Security doesn't... Team Security already knows about at least one instance I'm aware of where a CSM member on CSM 7 literally, like, put a pause on the entire fucking summit to talk about botting, basically in defense of botters. And you mean to tell me that person, whose organization also happens to be on this list, isn't aware that botters were a big constituent of his alliance?
Sure, but you're making something that's on par with a criminal accusation. Because botting is heavily linked to RMT, and RMT is against the rules of the game. You're effectively saying that there are alliances in the game that have committed bannable offenses, but only you know about it, and, like, do you not understand that how, like, I don't want to say insane, because insane is not the right word. I think it's plausible. Like, what you are suggesting is plausible. However, it is an incredible fucking black mark to be putting on people.
It's and the an fact open that, secret. And the fact that, and the fact and, that and pretending that Peligro, no one knows about it is weird.
And the fact that Peligro went and put the black mark on people publicly was pretty fucked up.
The fact that you're pretending that no one knew about this already?
I'm not pretending that no one knew about bots in EVE Online, Alex. I'm
the fact that Shadow of X-Death has a significant botting presence and knows all about it is a widely known secret. Like, to quote Varys, it's information at this point. Way more than eight people know about it. So to pretend otherwise, I think it's just disingenuous.
But then why is that being made the fucking... Why is that being made the player's problem?
Are people still joining
If that's an openly known secret, then what...
Are people
still
allying with X-Death? If so, then they don't care about botting as much as they say they do.
Yes, okay, cool, but that's not... That shouldn't be on the players to deal with. Why is CCP not acting to remove the people who are okay with botting and are facilitating the creation of botting from the... Like why is this everyone now? Why is suddenly everyone a target? What if this is just about people like Shadow of X-Death, who you seemingly have some mad ability to mind read and know that they have done this? Like, what about I don't know. Let's look at what about all the people in bot? Are you going to say that Lady Scarlet is she in league with all these botters? Is that what we're saying here? What about Fraternity? Are you saying that Windspirit, is he in charge of all these botters? I don't have the pie chart in front of me, but what about the Mitanni? What about the Sword Dragon? What about fucking Killer Bee? What about Elise? Like, where do you draw the line with stuff like this? This is an insane level of accusation that you're putting on an entire organization
insane. I don't know if any specific... I don't know, aside from one specific person, who has knowledge of what, but it's... Like, if everyone was on board with kicking botters out of alliances, then they wouldn't... This pie chart wouldn't fucking exist. So clearly some people are more on top of it than others, right? So I don't know, I'm not saying any specific alliance leader is in charge of it.
But you
someone
did,
in their
you
organization
did,
no.
Down
no.
Charge
of this
alliance
kind of
leaders.
Either the corporation CEOs that have these botters in them, or the people that recruited those corp CEOs are in charge of tracking what that corporation is fucking doing in their alliance.
No, I'm sorry, Alexa, you don't get to say, oh, I'm not pointing to any specific alliances. When you pointed to Fraternity, Pibsy, and Shadow of X-Death,
I'm not pointing to any specific alliance leader. I don't know who knows what. But I tell you, if I'm the CEO of a corporation, I know what the members of my corporation are doing. So minimum, they're corp CEOs.
No. Okay,
so who's recruiting corp CEOs?
That's a really biased expectation. What if you're the CEO of fucking Karma Fleet? What if you're the CEO of a 2,000-man corporation?
Is Karma Fleet on this list?
No,
Karma
but that's
Fleet
not the
PvP
point.
Is...
That's not the point. If you're asking for more information, then you're asking for everyone. So if like, let's say, you know, I don't know how big Karma Fleet is now, but I'm going to say 2,000. If one percentage of your player base uses bots, if 0.5% of your player base, let's say, even uses bots, that still means you've got 10 botters in your organization. And if you have 10 bots show up on your bot spanned report, does that mean people are going to suddenly think you're okay with botting? Like, do you not see where this leads, Alexiev?
Conflict has 4.3k, by the way.
You're trying to make it out like, oh, if there's even one bot in an alliance, we need to discard that entire alliance. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there is a culture in certain alliances which tolerate this activity. And, oh, it just happens that a lot of those alliances are on this historical list of most banned bots.
Let's get off this topic at some point, because otherwise we're just going to sit here and get mad about it, aren't we? Like, I can tell that we just don't agree, and there is no point having a further conversation on this.
I do want to point out that we have shifted from... because you mentioned specifically, and this is a point I agree on you with, which is that there may be... You say that there are. I say that there may be groups that exist in which there is a culture where botting is accepted. If that is the case, then what do you do? Right? Because if you kick all the, if you get rid of that organization, all those characters are just going to reform into a new one. You can't ban everyone, right? Because not everyone is a member of this culture. And even some people are like, they're there, they're renting from this group, but they're not a part of the culture that is okay with botting. They're just there because that's where the ISK is to be made. So there really isn't something that can be done about a quote unquote culture of botting in an organization. Unless you can pin it on a leadership figure who is pushing it forward or something like that.
I mean, any organization, it's always leadership. Like, if botting is going on, it's because the people that could check it don't care enough to do so, minimum. So if it's not this, if the corporation is really large and it's one CEO with no directors, then maybe the issue with that culture is you're not delegating leadership enough and there's not enough oversight. If you are delegating leadership and there's directors that are involved and they're aware of this and they're not doing anything about it, then that's where the problem is starting. Everything's leadership.
I would just kind of point out something that was mentioned, because I don't wish to kind of retread over this. As Ben said, we've gone into this in some depth. Put mentions about RNT not really existing in the game. Well, that doesn't really fly in the face of skill injection. In days gone by when you couldn't skill inject, if you banned a bot, you know, a person loses quite a considerable time investment. Nowadays, you can just inject up, and we've even seen the Army of Mangos Alliance lost their first super. I mean, I appreciate it was a 2017 character, but...
You don't need to inject skills, because you can train everything you need to rat effectively in a VNI as an alpha.
That's bad.
You can get like three or four mil on your ticks, but you're still making money as a healer or a VNI.
And then even if you go in and ban heavy drones on alphas, they just use healers.
Yeah. So you know, maybe they should look at the problem here, which is PvE, and the fact that it has no risk, and the fact that you can't catch people, and the fact that content is impossible to generate in this game because safety is so overpowered. But no, just put it all on the players, because why not?
Well, someone's generating content, and someone certainly doesn't feel safe, because the State of the Union just happened, and goons are deploying north. And before the State of the Union even happened, NC pulled out of Tribute. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, this is very interesting. They just had some real good spies, because this got announced, and they were pretty much pulled down a lot of choice targets. But yeah, it looks like Tribute's going to get invaded by goons, and there's not going to be much for them to hit when they get up there, apparently.
Well, not too much of any higher value targets, I suppose. There's still going to be a little bit of stuff, but yeah, I mean, the 15W keep star has already been scooped. I think another couple of structures have been scooped. This is literally as the goon super fleet was deploying north.
So I do want to point out one thing, which is that it is admittedly a very small portion of people, but there is nonetheless this vocal minority who is trying to connect NC pulling out of Tribute with the failed initiative deployment to Hakonan a little while ago. That's not what's happening here, guys. This has to do with the fact that the entire Imperium is intending to deploy, and the entire Imperium is a whole lot freaking scarier than the initiative. That's not a knock against the initiative, it's just the fact of N+1 in EVE nowadays 10,000 supers is a whole lot scarier than 200.
Yeah, no one has more N plus ones than Goonswarm in the Imperium.
T plus like there one, were, I think, might be the term.
There are literally over 4,000 characters just logged into 1DQ today for the State of the Dragoonian.
There is a small part of me that does just revel in the fact that the NC dot is now after a bigger superpower with more super capitals than they have retreating to LoSec, because if I remember correctly, that's what they called us cowards for doing in Provi.
Oh.
So, how the turns table, motherfuckers?
Yeah. The tables have turned. Ian, how much satisfaction would you get if they got their shit pushed in?
I don't know. I hope that they actually do something. Like, I don't want this to just be how I expect it to be, which is the Imperium deploys to the north and moonwalks some structures for, like, 2 weeks. Everyone is like, oh, NC isn't fighting. We go home. Tribute gets repopulated by NC and we will just pretend this never happened, which is kind of low-key what I kind of expect to happen right now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that assessment.
I don't know, hey, maybe I'm Imperium now, so I'm not supposed to hope for us to fuck up, but hey, maybe we fuck up.
Who do you fly with now, Ian?
The Initiative. I don't really do much, I'm just a line member in there right now.
He's the reason their offensive failed.
Yeah, I personally just brought along enough bad vibes to kill the whole deployment.
Spamming up command comms with weeb comments.
You bet it.
If the rumors of how many cactual porn.
If the rumors of how many titans came out north, goons didn't come for fights, they just came to steamroll the area. It's and NC are smart not to be fighting this at the border, because there's legitimately no way that they can stand against that many supers from the Greater Imperium.
Well, let's play armchair quarterback. How would you stand against this offensive if you wanted to? Or
Sanitamers.
We all agreed that it's not even worth it for them to pretend to fight.
It's going
to
be the first big test of the new Sinojammers, because I believe the last war happened under the previous mechanics. Of course, the new mechanics are that the Sinojammers are now anchorable citadel-type modules. But legitimately, the only way to stop the supers just standing in on your face is, yeah, to fight under jammers all the time, and then it becomes a case of protecting the jammers with sub-fleets and sub-brawls. The strangely scary but conceivable example here is that you have that many titans, you legitimately can just walk through a gate and no force can stand against you there.
And then yep. There's also, like, even if you didn't want to commit to that, there are just so many dudes in the Imperium, you could just have your subcap fleets go in and kill the jammers. And you have so many subcaps, it doesn't matter if they pre-stage caps or pre-stage supers, you keep overwhelming them. Then there's also, yeah, like, a bunch of, when was it, 2 weeks ago, I want to say, that we had Vili and Progod on Talking in Station Sunday show, and they were talking about the ways that they were trying to get around these Sinojammer mechanics down in the war down south, which is actually the first quote-unquote war we've had since the Sinojammer mechanics changed. And you can do some funky things with, like, anchoring your own hostile jammers in somebody else's space so that they can't anchor them. But then there are also issues where people who own jammers can ref their own jammers. I say ref, they basically put damage on them if they expect you to go and attack them. That way the repair timer starts counting down, and so whenever the attacking fleet, the actual one, comes in to shoot at the jammer, you either have to shoot at it and hope you don't get contested, because there's only like 2 minutes left on the repair cycle, so if you do get contested, you just lose, or you have to wait more time and then start your attack, which is just a massive pain and blow to the morale of your attacking force. It's the new jammer mechanics are quoted as the reason that Legacy is not able to make any headway whatsoever in the fight down south.
Speaking of which, you might as well transition to that. For those just joining the show, this is Test and Legacy Coalition versus Fraternity. The newly arrived Army of Mango backing up Test. These are basically like the Bob or the Goon Swarm of the Chinese server, now ported onto our server, but with newer characters, so they're not quite up to speed yet. They are aligning themselves with Legacy so they can hit their essentially their longtime rivals fraternity. And our audience, at least, believes by a 2-1 margin that they will be shaking up the map in time. This could be the beginning of that if that war is successful, but like you said, Artemis, things are kind of slow going.
Yeah, the Army of Mango has moved down into Omist, and they've taken a couple of Constellations of Sov there, or rather, were given a couple of Constellations of Sov by Legacy. So we'll see. Similar expectations were levied upon the Russian groups who moved in, right, when Red Alliance and the former Red Menace Coalition and all those dudes sort of all coalesced down into Tanarifis. Everybody thought, okay, this is the way, this is how Legacy can fight in the Chinese time zone, because there is a significant overlap between Chinese and Russian time zones. In fact, in some cases, they're literally exactly the same. So a lot of people thought that that would be the extra oomph that they needed to punch through. So while I was cautiously optimistic that that would be the case previously, with this things we've seen come out of the Russian Fire Coalition trying to do their thing, I am even less confident or even less able to be convinced that the Army of Mangos would make a difference here. At least in this particular conflict. Especially given how new they are. Yes, injectors are a thing. Yes, they can inject up, but they've still got a long way to go.
Have you seen their killboard? It is red.
I'm going to go look at it.
They lost their first ratting super, so that's kind of an initiation.
It's cool, though. I always love seeing new groups in the game. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, and I hope they... You know, this is another mean thing to say, but I hope they eventually break away from Legacy and are strong enough to stand on their own. This is actually kind of test paying it forward. This is what Goons did to them when they joined the game back in the day and they got given the Testagram up in the north. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are old enough to remember the days when Test was a small alliance and not the biggest, one of the biggest leadership alliances in the game.
Predictions in this war specifically, because Frat does seem to be doing relatively well, and they are, I would say, the underdogs for sure against Legacy.
Well, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, so we should describe the current fighting that is happening, because there were attempts made on, like, killing Citadels and taking Sov early on, but very quickly people realized, like, Sino Jammers were just going to make that not viable. And so what's been happening recently is just a lot of skirmish fighting. So Elo Knight and Origin Dot, previously the leadership of Black Legion, .. the most recent iteration, they joined Fraternity presumably on some sort of contract deal. And they have been just rolling around constantly doing sort of skirmishy type stuff, right? Hunting down ratting supers, hunting down Rorquals, and also like poking at various Citadels. Because the Legacy side of the map isn't Sino-jammed. This is, for the most part, a defensive war on Fraternity. Now, there has been a couple of timers, particularly in Tenerifis in the Russian Sov, which we've seen be generated, but they haven't really led to any sort of massive fight. So it certainly seems like Fraternity's on the defensive here. They'll continue to put out skirmish fleets. They'll continue to defend their space. I suspect that if Legacy ever gets tired of the skirmishing fights, right, if they lose too much, or if their members burn out, or if they get distracted by whatever next new shiny thing comes along, then this war will just die, and a nip will be signed, and that'll be the end of it.
Ian, what are your predictions?
I don't know. I think we're probably just going to see a stalemate, and I wouldn't be surprised if... I think the stalemate will just continue until something changes. I don't see the Army of Mango being a tide turner for at least the next couple of months. Like, they're going to need to not only develop their in-game resources, but they're probably going to need to adjust to the TQ meta before they have any real impact. Like, I suspect we'll see the Mangos bring some interesting stuff to the fray and eventually get beaten into something that's probably like the Russians, where the Russians always had, like, a really interesting take on the fleet meta that was not the same as everyone else's, and I suspect the Chinese will eventually gravitate towards their own way of conceptualizing EVE Online that will be significantly different to the West, but work alongside it.
Lave?
I kind of agree. I think it's just going to fizzle out. I don't see really much change unless there is significant failure upon one side or one other side brings in a lot more people. That said, a lot of activity is probably going to be focused on tribute, certainly from the Greater Imperium side of things, but you never know. I think movement could happen still on that side of the map.
That's a good point that you mentioned, bringing up the Imperium, because that was one of the big questions when the end of the previous non-invasion pact between Legacy and the Winter Coalition, which the Fraternity heads up. As that NIP was ending, people were like, okay, we know that Legacy is itching for a fight here, and we know that Fraternity is gearing up to defend against it. The big question is Legacy going to call on the Imperium, right, reform the Imperial Legacy in order to plow through Fraternity and the rest of Winter Coalition? That was a massive question, and there were concerns that, or rather, people were excited for the possibility that that happened, because if that happened, many thought that Fraternity would then call on their former allies up north. They would call on Northern Coalition, call on Pandemic Horde, Pandemic Legion, etc. And so we'd get another major, like, all big Sov powers deployed to this one front in a war, just brawling it out. But now, with Imperium deploying up north towards Tribute, they're not going to be there to help out Legacy. Legacy is standing on their own in this offensive push. And so as a result, I think, yeah, this is, I agree with Lave, it's going to stall out. How about you, Alec? What do you think? What are you hoping for?
I think a stall is probably the most likely. I think the Legacy situation may fizzle. I do think there are some interesting possibilities with things developing up in the north, particularly if PL, NC Dot, etc. aren't interested in engaging with Goonswarm's Cap Fleet at all. They may decide to come south in favor of looking for some content that they can actually engage with. I think that would be an extremely interesting development that kind of throws the whole balance of power right now into question. The other side of it, which I think doesn't get a lot of headlines, is a lot of Fraternity-aligned smaller alliances have been fighting really hard in Scalding Pass, and they've recently won that fight. So Frat may be getting some actually pretty highly skilled skirmish and sniping forces from the alliances that are active there. Once they shore up their constellation and get moved in and get themselves situated, they're probably going to be deploying to help Fraternity directly. And I wouldn't say that they're totally fresh, but they're at least fresh to that area of fighting. So they're going to have some improved numbers that might help counter the PIBC bump. So I think Tess's road ahead is going to get harder, not easier, especially if PL and NC Dot are out of the fighting effectively permanently.
There's one more point I want to make about the Imperium move north, and that is I'm hoping it gives us more clarification on the geopolitical situation up north, because right now there's a lot of accusations being thrown around. In fact, ever since the deal was made between Sort and Aerith about to end the last big war, people were throwing around like, oh, GOTG are just goon pets now. And that was the narrative for a while. And since, like, especially because GOTG, and particularly Darkness, was constantly throwing skirmishing fleets into Geminate to harass Horde and whatever, people were like, GOTG is trying to ally themselves with the Imperium. And now I think we'll get to see if that is true. We'll get to see at least a glimpse of what is the relationship, if there exists any right now, between Guardians of the Galaxy and the Imperium, especially after they were in the news. There was a bunch of drama because Slice was removed from Guardians of the Galaxy, or I suppose we should be calling them Dead Coalition. That's what they want to be called now. They were removed, and reports are they're moving down to Ethereum Reach, last I heard. Does anybody have any confirmation on this?
Do we want to actually just mention why they were removed, by the way?
We should, yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Because what they did was they set up an internal list for reporting botters, and they said that anyone who was a Chinese player on that list should contact their Chinese diplomat, whose name was Tiananmen Square Victim.
Oh, Tiananmen,
which is like, yes, haha, that's very edgy and funny as someone, you know, who is from the UK, but ooh. That's, like, even if you, I totally disagree with what happened in Tiananmen Square, I want to make that obviously clear. I do not agree with the Chinese government's decision to gun down unarmed student protesters. I think that's despicable. But that's still referencing a national tragedy as a way to try and basically mock someone because you don't believe that they could ever be genuine, and that's really fucked up.
Is it a national tragedy if the government did it to its own citizens? I suppose yeah. In a way, but...
The Civil War is a national tragedy in the US.
I suppose, but the Civil War... But
it is, but that is not how it's talked about.
And the US doesn't actively silence everything about the Civil War.
Let's put it this way. Like, if it was a Chinese people and this whole cultural thing was reversed and it was like, I don't know, a fucking 9/11. No, not 9/11 victims, because that wasn't internal, I guess. But yeah, like, I don't know. I'm not well versed enough in American history to talk about tragedies that have been inflicted by your government on your people, but I'm sure they exist.
This is a thin ice conversation.
Yeah, but
they
I just want to say
but
that like,
none of them would get you kicked off the internet if you talked about it.
Yeah,
I think that's the important thing here is that the whole. It's a running meme in gaming culture that if you run into a Chinese player, you can mention Tiananmen Square or make some like Winnie the Pooh joke and the person will get kicked. And so
That's totally cool in like almost every circumstance. But this is a point where you're saying, hey, we think these people are botters. If you want to get off of this list of people we suspect you are botters, fuck you because you're Chinese. Like
yeah,
that is how I took that. Like,
that's true.
I don't know if Reitrick intended that, and I assume he didn't, because I assume he's not that kind of person, but that's definitely how it's presented. And I can understand why people were offended by that, especially Saw.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In that context,
the way you phrased it, that's absolutely clear. That said, you know... just that whole situation. Whatever.
So let's talk about some like spaceships blowing up and this
yes.
Extreme Fleet Showdown Invitational 2 that's been happening. That we've got full footage from day one fully released?
Yeah, we have every single video from day one ready to go.
Woo-hoo!
It's pretty awesome. We've got a whole 10 matches. We've got nearly 20 different commentators all having a go at it.
To prep the audience, is this a spoiler-free zone or are we spoiling things, semi-spoilers?
I think we can probably... I'll give like some teasers, but we can talk about like the opening matches a bit, I guess, as well, if you want. Because there are the teams or something like that. Whatever you want to talk about, really.
Without spoiling anything, to the best of your ability, talk a little bit about the meta we're seeing, and talk a little bit about which teams surprised you, one way or the other.
Okay, well, the meta is really interesting because the team building is a lot different to how you build a team in any other EVE tournament. Rather than having like a points-based system or there isn't any hidden information. All the teams had to submit 5 compositions, and each of those compositions had to be entirely different. They couldn't reuse a ship, and they also can't reuse compositions when they're in the tournament. So you've got a lot of like strategy of when to pick what composition and what ships to use in what composition, because you can't use them in other compositions and stuff like that. Which I think added a real, like, spice to things. But we did end up with most teams generally settling on, like, a couple of really core things, like the Drake Navy issue, Cerberus, Caracal Navy issue, were the 3, like, ships that were pretty much always picked together. And those are considered very, very strong in this format, just in case you've ever wanted to see a meta where the Caracal Navy issue and the Drake Navy issue are considered 2 of the best ships in the format.
Why the Kara Navy versus, say, the Osprey Navy or literally any other ship?
Because Osprey Navies are not included in that weight category, because I wanted to give them access to things that were slightly more powerful than T1 cruisers, but not actually like as powerful as the Osprey Navy or the Vex Navy. So I gave them access to the worst of the 2 faction cruisers of each race. So I got to really play around with it and, like, make sure that interesting things got used. The Eris gets used. Oh, it's crazy. Kikimura, Drekvax. Like, there's tons of really interesting ships. But I think one of my favorite comps to watch play out was actually the House Gundor double Triglavian comp, where they had As their battlecruiser, they had the Drekovac, and as their heavy cruiser, they had their Vedmak. So they just had so much DPS, and then the rest of their fleet is just tackle. And all they have to do is get on top of something, hold it down, and as long as they can hold it down and get their DPS in close enough, it will die, as long as they don't die in the meantime. And it was very fun.
Can I pause the streamer showdown talk for a minute and get a hot take from Ian on the new T2 Targlavian ships that are coming out?
They're very interesting, and I actually have a minor CSM story. I'm the reason why the boost split is the way it is on the Command Destroyer.
Ooh.
Because originally it was just
familiar. The boosts on the Command Destroyer are Skirmish and Info.
That was something I suggested, although I suggested Armor and Shield specifically. Because originally it was one of the ones that had been used by in a pre-existing faction. I was like, that's fucking lame. Why is that like that when you could do something interesting?
Yeah.
And CCP was like, that is a good suggestion. Here you go. And that's nice. It's always nice when you get things like that. Like little tiny things that you just mention and then things happen. You don't have to make a big fuss about it. Aw. I like it when the CSM actually works.
The biggest controversy around them, and this would be maybe still your CSM hat, Ian, the ramp-up time on the hack, particularly compared to the battlecruiser.
Yeah, because it's not supposed to do as much DPS as a battlecruiser. Like, Eagles don't do as much DPS as a Ferox, as far as I'm aware.
Well, it does ramp up to do more damage eventually, but it would take, I think the earliest it seemed was a couple minutes to get up there, and then it's even longer for
twice
that
as long.
DPS to manage to like catch up to the damage you would have done if you hadn't.
Okay, that's fair. I wasn't aware it was that bad. I mean, it's not something I've looked super deep into. I really like the Triglavian ships, but I haven't really used them outside of the Lashak and the Drekvac, which are the fleet ones.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect the hack will just be good because it is a Triglavian ship, but actually, no, doesn't it? Isn't it like base fucking speed, like really bad?
It is not as fast as the cruiser that it is invented for.
Yeah.
Which
and it has a ton of more mass, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it has to have some kind of trade-off, and I think that's reasonable. But what it does is it pushes it into more of the tank and spank hack roll rather than the kitey hack roll, like a vagabond.
Kind of like a sacrilege, but slightly better because it's not a sacrilege and therefore terrible.
It's not too far off from I guess what would it be, the closest equivalent, I guess, would be the Deimos.
Does it get an active rep bonus?
No,
it doesn't get any tank bonus.
Yeah, well, it is really interesting just because hacks traditionally, like, the weakness of a hack has always been that it doesn't have any utility. That's why zealots were always like really nice, because you had that one utility slot,
right? And this has tons of that.
Yeah, and this has, like, a lot more options, and it'll be interesting to see if that, like, is what makes it useful. Like, can you use a small fleet of these to kill some capitals, but also deal with, like, smaller targets? Like, I suppose that might be a really good niche for it. You know, maybe have, like, some small newts and stuff like that. I don't know, I'm just spitballing. I haven't really looked into them too deeply.
I'm excited for how they're going to play into, like, the wormhole heavy armor doctrines, because in wormhole meta, particularly the wormhole heavy armor doctrines, it has always been the case that EWAR is incredibly powerful. You put a lot of thought into how many Balgorns can you bring, how many Jamgus can you bring, how many so on and so forth can you bring, and that typically was how fights were won, because the numbers are so small, you can't really volley things per se, so you just sort of have to grind it out, and if you don't have enough DPS to break them, then you've got to focus on disruption, right? Can we break their logi chain? Can we bump their ships? Can we boost them, etc.? So I think that the damage ramp up, allowing you to commit to a target and then maybe eventually be able to break its reps simply because of the fact that you will eventually get insane numbers of DPS, and then also the utility coming in that allows you to include EWAR on that platform as well, it could be very interesting in the wormhole doctrine.
Yeah, the AFs are going to be sick, though. I actually really like the AFs. I looked a little bit into those, and I was like, I'm leading the roam of these, I don't care how expensive they are. That was it.
I haven't really dug into the numbers on the Assault Frigate. Give us some highlights.
Oh, dude, it ramps up to like 1k DPS, it's fucking sick.
Really?
Yeah. And it has a full flight of light guns.
It just has to survive that long.
It won't, 2 minutes. But like, I will believe, you know. I'll bring, like, a fleet of logistics frigates and those AFs and pretend I'll do something good before I die to I-Rapid light missile caracals.
Well, I want to go and put that into Python and see what we can see here. Because I love my assault frigates, man. AFs and hacks are my favorite ships to, like, fleet fight with. So I love it when there's good options in those classes.
They're really interesting, and I had some experience. I fought hacks on TQ for my first time, believe it or not, fighting those Munans. That was my first time ever fighting hacks. Well, since the ADCU change, I've fought them before, but...
Do you think the Drekovic is properly balanced currently?
No, I think it's really fucking overbalanced. I hope they don't nerf it, because it's really fucking fun. Like, isn't it? Is that a bad position to have? Like, yeah, this is really overpowered, but so is, like, half the other things in the game. Can you let us have this one?
No, I think it's an issue. Because battlecruisers and hacks are always sort of at odds with each other a little bit. I think it's only an issue in comparison to the hack. So, one of them needs to get tweaked in one direction or the other. Probably.
Ugh. I do like the trig ships. I was actually really, really, like, skeptical of them when they originally were kind of pitched, but they've added a really huge dimension to the meta, and I gotta say, I actually really like them.
Who's your pick for day two of the tournament, Ian? Let's wrap this one up.
Well, I already know, because I TO'd the final, so...
Okay.
It's kind of cheating.
Yeah, yeah. Alright, let's move into some host highlights. Yin, you would be very happy with me. Trashed CVA's new SCAP fleet again. Also on the hostile freeport, just like the first time. This fight was a slaughter. Holy shit.
I was tempted to run back to that when I was in when I knew I was gonna whelp, I was like, oh man, can I run to like Alexei's thing in 90Y? And then they bubbled the gate and I was like, never mind, we're good.
So they brought some ships in to reinforce it. They did. Posted the defense op. Wrecking crew showed along with a few other alliances. And things went down. I will describe the opening of this fight to you, and fair warning, I can't explain it rationally, but this is what happened. CVA warped a pile of cap ships about 250 to 300 kilometers off of the Fortizar. There were two Phoenixes in the mix, I think three triage ships, faxes, and I want to say like three or four carriers. And then they had a MAC fleet that was babysitting that. So the two Phoenixes, you would presume, were going to shoot the fort. One of them did, the other one did not. As it turned out, that guy had battleship-sized cruise missiles, not capital ship ones. That was their first mistake. Second mistake was parking all those ships that really couldn't do anything on the field and just like kind of leaving them there and not doing anything. So I had the one ship attacking it. I was gunning the Fortizar. So I just locked up the Phoenix and blew it up in like three or four volleys. Did not take long. Once that thing was down, they just kind of sat there for the rest of the timer. As soon as the timer dropped, Last Spartan took the Wrecking Crew fleet and bubbled all the cap ships. And the things got going. We had Waffles come. Test was there. I was just like lobbing torps and paints at the various cap ships. And I was also shooting bombs at the subcaps. People on comms were very angry about my bombs because they were blowing up bubbles. And that was bad. But what they also did was destroy the entire logistics wing of an enemy hack fleet. Which was good. No, I think it was a Jackdaw fleet. It was one of them.
So I just want to take a break here because I just looked at like four different Macario fits from Provi and they were all different.
Munins, excuse me. They had a Munin fleet, a test Munin fleet, and I popped all of their Kirins.
whoa. Kirins and Munins? That's interesting.
It's a good idea. It's a very good idea, as a matter of fact. But not when you leave them on field. And they just get bombed out of existence. So once that dropped, they were able to shred the rest of the Munin fleet, and that was pretty fun. The Max, yeah, the fits roll over the place. They're cap ships, the fits roll over the place. I don't know, man. Can't explain what I'm saying.
Oh, I remember back when I had to be in charge of that shit.
That sure was trying.
A time. Oh, no, like, I love Probi. Like, Probi the best for that. Like, Probi never stop fucking. Probi never stops believing.
It's getting to the point, though, that I'm happy when I see that they've reinforced the Freeport, because I know that one of these type fights is about to happen.
Oh, I gotta go back. You're getting
first timer yet.
You're getting cocky, Alexia. I might have to go back and just, like, guest FC a fleet for them.
I can't believe that thing's still alive.
Neither can I.
It's pretty funny, honestly. Like, it's really impressive what you've been able to do with Capitalist Army, I gotta say.
It's paid for itself, and CVA killmail's, like, 10 times over at this point.
You're debating them so hard.
Yeah.
Baited on a free port.
So yeah, anyone else that's listening to this, if you want to come have a tour of Providence, feel free to stop and relax at the 9UI Freeport.
Or feel free to attack the Freeport and generate another timer like this, because apparently Alexia just dreams of them.
Well, this is the first time I got to use the Fortizar, which is anti-cap fit, to shoot capital ships. The first time they brought their cap fleet, it wasn't up yet, and every other time has been subcap bullshit, like jumping ravens and a Balgorn Vindicator fleet. Oh, Balgorn Leshak fleet. They never brought the caps. So this time,
Balgorn
like,
Leshak fleet. Oh,
oh yeah,
dude. Probably using that.
Yeah,
dude, that's fucking baller.
It was baller. I was like, wow, that's a nice fleet. They also brought as many guardians as they had non-guardian ships. So I was just kind of like, well, I'm not gonna break through that. But they weren't even able to reinforce it with that. They got scared off by a small fleet of tactical supremacy, brought like oracles or something, and warped a 20-man oracle fleet on field, and they warped out and didn't come back. Yep. No, excuse me, it was nightmares and oracles. Still, though. It's like 15, 20 dudes. Probably had them outnumbered 2-1 with better ships, and they just wouldn't engage and let the timer go. I was like, huh. Okay.
Sure is a thunk.
I'm sure they'll try again. We'll have more stories for you here. If you want to participate in these fights, Capitalist Army is recruiting. Yin?
Oh, yeah. My host highlight is just I got to record a bunch of commentary, and it's really fun to do that. It's cool to just watch a match play out and watch people and listen to people get excited about it. That's all I want to do in the game.
Art?
My host highlight is the Capsuleer Day reward thingy mabobs. The permaban skins are really freaking cool. I wish they were for, like, other ships, but they're still really freaking cool. And the SP is nice.
Yep, so much SP. It's allowed me to correct a few injustices on a few of my characters. Like my main, who I consider myself a bit of a career interceptor pilot, had high speed maneuvering 4. And it just kept getting pushed to the back of the skill because I trained everything else, so I got to correct that particular mistake.
Awesome. Alright, guys. That's it. We're going to close with some shoutouts. I want to give shout-out to the residents of the R&M Pocket. That's the pocket in Scalding Pass that has all the allies from The Cure. If you're a longtime listener of the show, you'll remember all the awesome fights we had last summer. They are now withdrawing from the pocket that they fought so hard to take and so hard to maintain. They've finally met their match and just got ground out by these new allies of Skillu and Frat, and it's just too much. They're pulling out. It was a great fight. These guys are absolute legends, and I wish them luck in their next endeavor, which may in fact be joining the front lines of Test Frat. On the test side, I believe. So unclear if they're all going over there or if there's going to be some rearrangements of which corps are in which alliances. But it'll be really interesting to see, and I'm sure that they're going to get some really good fights. And who knows, they may not have seen the last of Scalding Pass yet. But yeah, hopefully I'll get a few more fights with them in Great Wildlands and hang out with them a bit before they go. Again, really cool dudes. Yin?
Much the same. I actually want to give a shout out to some people I've thought, and that's actually just Pandemic Horde, and Provi, and Brave Newbies. That one you haven't seen yet, and that's going to be Thoraxes going up against Caracals.
But, are these blaster or rail thoraxes?
Rail thoraxes.
Ooh, shield tank?
Yeah, you bet.
Nice.
I also whelped one a fleet of them to bombers before we even really got anything done, so that's how you know it was a real fleet. But anyway, go ahead.
My shout-out goes to the real MVPs who vote in our very highly scientific show polls.
These are facts.
What's our show poll for today going to be?
The show poll for today, I have two options. We could do both. CCP Pelagro releasing Botter Alliance affiliation is either long overdue or a bad call. And I have, in general, are corporations or alliances or their leadership responsible if they have a large portion of Botters in their population? Do you think those are fairly
I'm a fan of the former rather than the latter. As with all of our scientific polls, we're creating a bit of a false dichotomy here, but I think that's fine.
I don't know.
I suspect that the community is very polarized on the issue anyway.
Mm-hmm.
As a scientist,
false dichotomy? I don't know what you're talking about. These polls are scientific in nature.
A very true fact dichotomy. I'm sorry.
Yes. Leave.
Shout out to Invicta Corporation to give me a temporary home in my Journeys Onwards 3. Good guess, guys. Previously with Shadow Cartel, now with the Pandemic Horde. And so looking forward to seeing exactly what kind of madness unfolds over the next days, weeks, months.
You're in Horde now, Leif.
I'm there, yep. Holiday deployment. Sabbatical.
If only we're not on completely opposite time zones, I get to fly in the fleet with you again.
Yeah, incidentally, actually, I actually was very briefly flying against Jin, actually, when he brought his beam maulers in. I was on comms with the Horde FC, who was sounded extremely green, trying to take Caracals against maulers. And at the time, I'd just joined Horde, so I thought, it's not my place to come in and immediately take over the fleet and boss this guy. And then real life struck, so I couldn't really stay for any length of time. So I just brought two Kitsunis, then was sat there jamming the... jamming your Zekiras at 100 kilometers, and then I was like, oh crap, real life, I had to run away.
That's really so. You were in that fight?
Yes, dude. I literally kind of, I was watching the kind of going around, and I was the two Kitsune pilots that were kind of busy just jamming at your logi. And then I literally only could stay there for 5 minutes, and then real life hit, and I was like, bollocks.
That's absolutely hilarious, dude. It's awesome to see to meet someone like that again. didn't even know.
Yeah. But I'll probably get FCing at some point soon. I mean, I had to say hello to Zeph and his Laserhawks guys when they brought a 7 like man remote RR Dominix fleet into BWF, which went as expected.
Well, I hope to face you in the field someday and, you know, maybe make a video about it.
Absolutely.
So, Pandemic Horde now has Artemis, Lave, and Nidia. Interesting.
Bet they got some Botters as well.
They weren't on the graph, though.
Well, I did say Nidia.
Mmm.
Ooh. But also strange and intriguing.
But no, it's just interesting. They have three of Noir's biggest FCs.
They're bringing the band back together.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you feel the draw, Alec? Do you feel the draw?
Everyone keeps asking me this. Not everyone, but I've had at least 5 people in the past 2 months ask me if/when I'm restarting Noir.
So when are you restarting Noir?
I'm not making any public comments on the matter.
And Jintan makes it number 6 asking you that in the next few months.
So, you know, I'm just gonna, guys, gonna have to wait and see.
But dude, you're having a good time.
You're such a tease, Alec.
Huh?
I said you're doing a good job with Captain's Army. I'd hate to take you away from the 9 new I-4s are.
I know, it's just so much fun.
Blapping off Phoenixes with crew with battleship-sized weapons, battleship-sized shield boosters, and no rigs.
At least he had a siege module, though.
He did. Was it T1 or T2? I didn't check. Because if it was
T2, it was T1.
Oof.
But at least it wasn't a Bastion module.
Oh,
could you
actually
even fit one?
Can you even fit one?
Can I like pimp problems out the public fleets that I'm running, by the way? Because like all of my video fleets are ones I do like with Spectre Fleet.
Yeah, promote away.
Yeah, if you want to come to my fleet on Thursday, we go from Kibbutz, and we're doing ruptures, and I haven't decided where we're going to go from, but we're going to use Gnosis's for the next one on Sunday as well.
And what time is it?
What time?
Oh, like 1900-ish for both. It's in the OOTD of Spectre Fleet, which is SF, Space, Spectre, Space, Fleet, the chat channeling game.
All right, there you go. That's it, guys. Head to declarationsofwar.com to participate in the poll. Really interested to hear your opinions on this episode. And that's it. Capitalist Army is recruiting, as like I said. We're actually pushing really hard. We've got a pretty nice U.S. time zone, a pretty nice EU time zone right now. We need more dudes. We're getting to some really good content out here, and you should join us. Wherever you are, and whoever you're flying with, good hunting, listeners.